as David Suzuki, the famous TV host, author, and environmental activist, turns 70 and releases his biography entitled David Suzuki. He's interviewed by Ryan Young of community radio CKUT in Montreal in May of 2006.
And just maybe put into perspective for me, I know you really like fishing, put into perspective how the ocean ecosystems have changed over the years.
Well, this is a terrible aspect. We live in Vancouver, and when we go to our cottage on Quadra Island, we have to take two ferries. We go to Vancouver Island, drive 2 hours, and then take another ferry over to our island. And as we get closer to our island, the last ferry, we can see these boils of herring and huge bundles and eagles diving down to catch them and salmon leaping all over. And we go, oh, it's so great to be back in nature, the way it always was. Then I talk to my neighbor, Dan LeClaire, who's lived on Quadra for over 60 years. And when he describes what it was like when he moved there, you just want to weep because, he said, when I was a kid, you used to be able to go out in a little punt, a little rowboat, and with a rake, a garden rake, you'd go to the kelp beds and rake herring into your punt, and you could fill it in 15 minutes. They were that abundant. He said, we could go out any time and catch a red snapper. Ling cod and rock cod were just, you could pull one up for a meal. Well, the fact is the herring near our place were wiped out in one commercial fishery for 1 year. They were wiped out. Now it's almost 20 years later. This year was the first time we began to see herring in abundance in our little bay. He said that the salmon used to be so numerous that you could hear them coming miles away. They were jumping as they were approaching the island. You could hear them coming. You knew when they were coming. We've never heard any of that. There are no red snapper left at all. Ling cod now. It took 8 years before we were fishing for red rock cod, and my wife caught a large ling cod. And I was all excited. She pulled up this big fish. She just took it off the hook and let it go. I said, what are you doing? She said, David, we've been here for 8 years. This is the first big ling cod we've caught. There's no way you can kill that. And she was right. Now we've gone from being able to catch rock cod any time to where the government is saying you can only catch one rock cod a day. Well, we shouldn't be catching any rock cod. There just aren't enough because the fishing fleet's been taking them in large numbers and sending them to Asia. So if I look at what the oceans were when Dan LeClaire was there, I inherited the property. I got the property. It was already empty. But even in that time, the fish that we were relying on, the ling cod and rock cod, they've gone. And, they came and pumped gooey ducks, a large clam which lives up to 120 years. They will bring $100, $200 in the Orient. They're pumping them out of the water as if they're little nuggets of gold. And they have no idea how these animals reproduce. And, we're just destroying that resource. Abalone were wiped out by scuba divers about 20 years ago. They've never come back. So what I'm presiding over is the liquidation of these great resources that should have been there forever. And we saw it on the East Coast, of course, in 1992, a fishery that had been used by humans for over 500 years, the northern cod off Newfoundland. In 1992, the government finally said, look, there aren't enough. Moratorium. Everybody thought that was going to be a 2-year moratorium. And then, boom, we'd go back to fishing. It's 14 years later, and all indications are there are fewer northern cod today than there were in 1992. So there's a case where this immense biomass, I mean, you read the reports of John Cabot. When he came, his ship literally could not enter into bays because the fish were so abundant, the ship couldn't go in. They could drop wicker baskets off the boat and just fill them up and bring load after load. If you look at the pictures, even in the 1900s, of people with cod that would go from the ground up, 6 feet tall, those are all gone. It's one of the great tragedies. When I went to high school in the 1950s, my teacher said, the oceans are filled with limitless replenishable fish. Well, in 1950, they probably were, but they're not now. Over 90% of the major fishes in the ocean now are gone, and they're not coming back.
And why do you think you know, government departments like the Department of Fisheries and Oceans have failed to manage that resource?
I think the problem is that you've got a system built on a pyramid. The Minister of Department of Fisheries and Oceans is the top dog. And then under him are the bureaucrats, and then under them are the scientists. And the problem is the politician gets to dictate what all the statements and policies are. So he's driven, or she is driven, by a political agenda. And the science then has to be filtered through all of these political filters. And so a scientist cannot just speak out and say, look, we got to stop fishing for these fish immediately, or else they're toast. A minister will not allow that to be said. And it's the same with, land. We've got government scientists in BC that are saying there are far fewer grizzlies than we ever thought. We shouldn't be hunting them. That's never allowed to be said. The scientists who have said that have been fired. So we've got a system that is not built on assessing scientific data. It's all filtered and manipulated through a political agenda. And that's a very destructive thing, because politicians, they're not thinking long term. They're thinking, what's the next election? Okay, if I stop fishing in the next 2 years, then when I go to the election 3 years from now, I'm going to get my ass kicked. I can't afford to do that. So they do everything they can to delay making those decisions. And meanwhile, everything gets fished down.
Dr. David Suzuki, in his 70th year, interviewed by CKUT Montreal.